Last week, we're in a series called James, in the book of James, called Walking the Walk of Faith. And I encourage you, if you were here last week or you missed our first week of this series, I encourage you to listen to it because this is an incredible book to get our heads around, but it calls us to a way of life that is so far superior than anything this world could ever offer. So I encourage you to go into our website and check out that podcast. To listen to the podcast and get an idea of what we talked about last week. But I'm going to pray because, as I said, I've had the cold this week and I did a talk at youth on Friday and I was coughing halfway through it for about half an hour. So pray that doesn't happen again. I'm feeling a bit better. But let me pray that I may have the strength to get through this without a coughing fit. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Father, as we do come before you now, Lord, we again thank you for your word. And as we dive deep into it this morning, I ask that you would again reveal truth to our lives, that you would penetrate our very joints and marrow, our very hearts, in order to reveal this truth, in order that we may live it out. And Lord, we thank you again that you are here in our midst, that your presence is with us. And we acknowledge that right now. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would do a work in our lives, that you'd be transforming our hearts and minds, in order that we may look more like your Son, Jesus, in thought, word, and deed. So, Lord, as we come to this text now, Lord, I just pray that you'll give me the strength and the energy to get through this, Lord, and get through without any sort of coughing fit or anything like that. And I just pray for your wisdom for myself as I deliver it. And we also think of our kids and youth now as they come and meet and learn about you too, Lord God, that in a way that's relevant to them, we ask, Lord God, that you would speak into their lives as well and that you would be transforming this church into your very image, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, in your bulletins, you'll see each week a little section called Food for Thought. And the reason we put this in there is to give us a little word of encouragement for our weeks, because sometimes we come to listen to sermons and the like, but we do tend to have a busy week sometimes. We may not take on board as much as we can, but we always take our bulletins home. So we encourage you to read these during your week, just to encourage you and to, again, give you that food for thought, practical wisdom to apply to your life. And in the bulletins last week, in the Food for Thought section, I actually shared a story about when I was selected to play represented basketball for the Sutherland Sharks. And I've never been so proud in my life back then as to represent the Sutherland Sharks. And it was a moment in my life that will catapult me on a 10-year journey of trying to become a professional basketball player. And I got thereabouts, but I missed out, and it wasn't to be. But I learned a lot about that, a lot about life in that 10-year journey, a lot about ministry as well and what we can apply to our lives. But I remember standing before my coach when I was trying out for the team. And I remember standing before my first basketball coach with one of my best mates. And there was one spot left in this team. And he pulled us aside and he talked about our strengths and what we need to get better at. We're only like 12 or something like that. And he selected me to be the last member of this team. And I was certain that my mate was going to get it, just the way he was talking. It was like a bit of, The Voice or one of those sort of shows where they're saying all these things. But I thought I was going to miss out. And I made the team, and I was pretty disappointed and devastated for my mate. But again, excited to be given the opportunity to play at this level. And I still remember receiving my first basketball uniform, my very first representative basketball uniform. It was the most amazing moment in my life. And the reason I was so excited was because of the prestige of wearing this uniform held amongst our basketball mates, our community. Everyone wanted to play, represent their area at that time and play for the Sharks. But it was a uniform that very much set me apart. It set me apart from the other players in my division. It set me apart and represented my ability as a basketball player. However, it was one thing to receive the uniform and wear it and put it on. It was a whole other thing then to go and represent the team because I was now expected to play a certain way, wasn't I? I was expected to exhibit specific qualities and characteristics on the basketball court. Ultimately, I was expected to play a certain way. And in many ways, in this passage of James 1:19-27, where we are today, I think we can see a similar sort of thing here. A similar sort of thing at play, because James is alluding to that as followers of Jesus, we too are set apart to wear a certain kind of uniform. Amen. We are set apart to live and to exemplify a certain way of life within our lives. And this uniform is unique. It also entails, again, these certain qualities and virtues that followers of Jesus would do well to exhibit and express as they go about their daily lives. And the amazing thing about this uniform is that it's not saturated in sweat like my basketball uniform usually was, but it's saturated in the ways of Jesus Christ. This man, God, person that came to show us the way of life that we are called to embrace and live out for ourselves. This uniform is saturated in the ways of Christ, and it's a way of life firmly ingrained in the Word of God. And we saw last week how James ultimately is calling God's people to a higher order, a higher way of life. And this way of life, he provides an alternative to dealing with hardships and trials. And again, encourage you to listen to that podcast if you haven't already. There you go. Thank you, Alan, by God's grace. But his heart is to see God's people embrace truth so that they grow and flourish into the faithful and faith-filled disciples of Jesus that he calls us to become. And he continues with this heart in this section of Scripture, and he calls God's people to once again not just talk the talk, but walk the walk of faith. And ultimately, he calls them to do this by not just listening to God's Word or hearing it from the pulpit every week, but actively listening and doing exactly what it says, living it out within your very life. Again, James's emphasis is to help you and I, God's people, realize that we are called to a unique way of life, a separate way of life. We are set apart for God's service, amen. We have been chosen and selected to represent Him, just as I was selected and represented to represent my area, the Sutherland Sharks. But these qualities, this way of life, they're explicitly detailed in this passage. And first of all, we are told how we are to exhibit this in our life. The way in which it is to overflow from our very lives is to accept the Word of God humbly. That's the first point this morning, accept the Word humbly. And if you turn to James chapter 1, verse 21, again, as Greg read out to us, it says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." And so first of all, we are called to put off the clothes of this world, the filthy rags of this world, the clothes that we would do well to get rid of, the ways of wickedness, get rid of it, and with humble hearts accept the word of God as truth. Accept it humbly and allow it to do its work in your life, because the moment you and I accept God's word humbly and continue to accept it humbly, God does a work in us, amen? He transforms us. He transforms us from the old ways into the new ways. The old clothes, the old uniform, the ways of the world and wickedness into the new. No longer are you seen in that old, stinky, filthy rags, but the new, beautiful, white, pure, holy garment of Jesus Christ. That's who God sees you in light of now. Not the ways of the world, not your past, which we've been speaking about, getting past your past. It's not about that anymore. Once you accept and humbly accept God's word into your life, he sees you in the light of Christ. That's why he came. So whoever may put their faith in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so to accept, it means to receive. And to receive the word of truth and its transforming power in our lives, that is the very mechanism that gives us the power and the strength to put off the old clothes, to put them to the side. We can't do it in our own strength, guys. We can't. When we accept God's word into our lives, he is the one that gives us the power, the strength. He is the one that transforms us and gives us that power to say, enough of that, enough of the old ways, enough of those filthy rags. Let me embrace the clothes that you have for me, Jesus. And what is interesting in the Old Testament is that sinners are regularly referred to as people who dressed in filthy clothes. Have a look with me in Isaiah 64:6. It says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy." Our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. And likewise in Zechariah 3:3-4, it says, "Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Take off his filthy clothes.' Then he said to Joshua, 'See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you.'" Again, that's exactly what Christ has done to us. Amen. He has put righteous, clean, pure garments on us. But the mistake that you and I continually make, even though we're clothed in these beautiful, this beautiful uniform and clothing, so often we go back to our filthy rags, don't we? And we think it'd be nice to just try that on again or put those on again. But let's be honest, how many of us, when we're dressed up for a wedding or a funeral or whatever, in our nice tie and attire and our nice dress, we're all clean and clean shaven, looking beautiful. We're not going to go back into the laundry and put on that filthy, sweaty t-shirt that we just did the gardening in, are we? We're not going to put those pants that we've just done the painting in. But yet we do that with our spiritual lives, our lives in our way of life. We just continue to go back to the filthy, disgusting habits that God doesn't want anything to do with. And that's why it's so important to continually be repenting and coming before Him and allow Him, humbly accepting His word as truth again, so that He may do the work in our lives. But by humbly accepting this word, we must therefore see again that there's a way of life that He calls us to. And James is explicit in the kind of life that Jesus desires His disciples to live out. And one of the most important things that He tackles in this opening few verses of this section is anger. And anger is not something that God's people should be exhibiting, amen? I mean, there is such a thing as righteous anger where Jesus exhibited this when He saw sin and people sinning. He got upset and He got angry, yes, but how often do we operate out of righteous anger? Not very often, I would say. So there is a place for righteous anger, but it's getting upset at sin and that, but doing it in a holy way as Jesus did. But this is something that God's people struggle with, and this is the reason why James puts it in there. Anger needs to be put away with, because if we are to be vessels of life, then we must realize that there's nothing life-giving about anger in the life of a disciple of Jesus. I love this quote from Daniel Doriani. He says this, "Believers need wisdom and knowledge, and we learn more by listening than we do by speaking. Big talkers are really good listeners, and angry talkers, they just may not hear a thing. Therefore, we should be deliberate, not rash in speech. It takes strength to hold the tongue, to wait and deliberate until thoughts grow ripe. This kind of care with proper emotional self-control leads to edifying speech." You know, this is actually the key to becoming a mature disciple of Jesus, amen? Emotionally mature disciples, because we get it wrong all the time. We're so quick to speak. The moment someone says something that upsets us or says something that we don't agree with, how quick are we to jump down their throats or let something fly at them? But that's not how Jesus operated. That's not how our Lord Jesus went about things. He responded with grace and love and mercy. This is what it looks like to build a healthy church, amen? Churches are healthy when they are emotionally mature, followers of Jesus. And this is why we have so many church splits. This is why we have so many problems in churches, because people just aren't emotionally mature. So there's one encouragement from myself to each and every one of us today, is to live out what James says. Be slow to speak. Listen. Even if you don't agree, respond with grace and in truth. It doesn't mean that you have to do what the person's saying, but just respect where they're coming from. And this is a journey I've had to be on. I've had to learn it from myself. But again, be quick to listen to people, James says. And if you don't agree or if they say something that offends you, be slow to speak, slow to become angry. I saw this firsthand in my previous employment. Before I started on the journey of full-time ministry, I worked in the employment services industry as an employment consultant. It was my first proper full-time job after university. And in this job, you just dealt with a variety of different people from all walks of life. It was an incredible job to be in. I really enjoyed it. It was very much a stepping stone to ministry. But in part of our training, when I first started, we had to do a full day's intensive or workshop on conflict resolution. And this was full on, because what we had to do is walk into a room one-on-one with a bunch of actors who would pretend to be irate or upset clients, and we had to sort of try and manage their frustrations and their anger by calming them down. It was the most intense situation. I actually remember my very first time coming in, this woman was swearing at me and going off at me, and I started laughing. And that wasn't a good thing to do, because it just made her even angrier. Like, she was like, these actors were like on the money. It was amazing. But I learned pretty quickly in that workshop that yelling back was not going to achieve anything, that arguing the case wasn't going to work. The only real strategy that we had, and it worked for every single one of these situations and scenarios, was to sit down, to listen, and respond in a calm and controlled manner. Have a think about those times you're in a room and someone gets anxious or frustrated, and the anxiety levels raise, don't they? And then you start to get upset, and you start to get... Imagine if we all just calmly responded in a way that Jesus would be happy with. You know, that's what James is on about here. It's the only strategy we have. Again, this is what it looks like to be a spiritually emotionally mature Christian, and someone who ultimately wears the uniform of Jesus Christ. And if you get easily frustrated here today, if someone says something that offends you and you're like a match, it just gets lit like that, I encourage you to bring it before Jesus. We need to bring this at the feet of Jesus, allow Him to do a work in and through us, transform us, because the reality is anger makes it difficult to get along with people. You show me people that struggle to get along, relationship with people, I'll show you someone that deals with one, pride or anger in their lives. It also makes it very difficult to live the life God intends you and I to live, because anger makes it slow to listen and receive God's word. Amen. And if I'm to be honest with you and transparent, anger is something I've had to deal with in my life. From my teenage years and up until my early 20s, I really struggled with anger, and it was a result of my brokenness and that aspect of feeling rejected that I shared with you a few weeks back. That's what caused me to become angry, and I had to deal with that. I had to deal with that root problem first before I could deal with the anger. And if you are an angry person here today, I encourage you to look at your past, as we've been looking at. There may be an element of brokenness there that you need to deal with, that you may need to lay at the foot of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus. And sometimes it requires professional help. Now, that was part of what I had to do. I had to go to a counselor and a psychologist to work through that rejection. And once I started to work and process that, I realized the anger started to subside as well. But ultimately, if we are to walk the walk of faith and not just talk the talk, if you and I have genuinely accepted the word of God with humility in our lives, then this is the kind of life that you and I need to start to live out. We need to have control over our anger. And again, God's word's pretty emphatic on this. Ephesians 4, 26 and 31 says, In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. This is why James is so enthusiastic about this, so intense, because it is so prevalent in God's people. Proverbs 29:11, fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. Again, if we're humbly accepting God's word in our lives, it means living the kind of life that He desires us to live. And this is a big part of that. But why is that the case? Why is James on about this? Well, he says in James 1:20, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. That's what our lives are all about, amen. Becoming like Christ in thought, word, and deed. I can bang on about it every single week, but that is the kind of, that is the way of life that God ultimately wants us to become, to strive towards righteousness, holiness. And James is on about that, that he wants God's people to grow and flourish into their God-given potential, as we looked at last week, to become the kind of worshippers the Father seeks, amen? That's what James is on about. He's not trying to judge you or make you feel bad. He said, this is the way of life that God's calling you to. So much better. Embrace that. Live that out. Then you'll feel blessed. That's what it means to be blessed and experience the blessing of God. Alex Moiter says that our anger is often burdened with self-importance, self-assertion, intolerance, and stubbornness. Ultimately, when we're angry, life becomes all about us. When we sin, it's all about us and what, how we can make ourselves feel better, isn't it? Self-preservation. And when life is all about us, it's a dangerous place to be because it distracts us from true justice. It distracts us from living the kind of life that God intends us to live. As James says, we ignore the injustices around us, the poor, the needy, the marginalized, the oppressed. When we make life all about us, it stops us from living out our God-given potential. And once again, I know this because I've had to deal with it in my past as well. And the key to doing all of this, to walk in the walk instead of just talking the talk, is once again listening to God's word actively. Listen to God's word actively. I mean, how many times in our days do we wake up and we mean well? We do mean well. We read our devotion or the word for today. We read a Bible passage. But then we go into our days and we live out the very opposite to what that passage just told us to do. Something I've been working through recently. I've been in God's word, but I haven't actively been listening to what he's saying to me. I need to do it in my own life. And the reality is it's the busyness of life, isn't it? Like, we've had a busy few months. I don't have to go into that, but it's distracted me from, you know, meditating on God's word, listening to him, and applying to my life what I believe him to say through his word. But think about our day-to-day conversations we have with people as well. If we're busy, if we're in a hurry, if we're not interested, we hear what people say, don't we? But we don't absorb it. And if they are to ask us to repeat back what they say, 9 times out of 10, we'll probably go, yeah, I wasn't really listening. I mean, this has happened the other night with Kel and I. It was a pretty funny story, actually. We're just busy day. We're just on TV, on our phones. You know, not a healthy place to be sometimes. But she was talking to me and asking me questions and telling me a story. And I was sort of nodding along. And she goes, what did I say? It's like, you said this. Completely wrong. How many times, man, have you got in trouble for doing that, I wonder? But the funny thing was is that I then returned serve because she got on her phone and frustrated. She started doing whatever and I started talking to her. And she's like, yep. Yep, yep. What did I just say? I don't know. This is the reality of our existence. Like, we're in such a hurry, we don't value people well enough that we don't listen to them. We don't take on board what they're saying. But we need to learn the process of active listening, like genuinely looking people in the eye and taking on board what they're saying. Again, this is something I've had to work with because I'm just like, you know, extrovert, who go to the next conversation, this isn't that. I've had to stop and just take on board what people are listening, process what they say. And this is the very reason why James talks about listening to the word of God. In verse 22, he says, do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't just listen to it. Don't just read it. Actively apply it to your life. That's what it means to listen actively to God's word. And then he goes in to use another illustration in verse 23 and 24, if you want to open your Bibles to that passage. It says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. He wants to be blessed. Everyone wants to be blessed, don't they? This is how you feel blessed. Do what God's word says to do. Live it out in your life. Don't just hear the word, but obey it. Don't just listen to it, but do it. Again, for James, it's like a spiritual mirror for our souls. How often do we stand before the mirror before work and intently look at our physical appearance and do our makeup and our hair and spend time doing that? We're so intent on getting our physical appearance right, but what about our spiritual appearance? God's word is a mirror to our spiritual selves, our souls. How often are you looking at it? How often are you meditating on it? How often are you allowing it to transform your very life into the image of Jesus Christ? Again, sometimes we go into our days, we've looked at the mirror and we go out into the world and we've forgotten what we look like. Oh, that's okay. I'll get that. I'll do that button up in the car, or I'll fix that hair in the car. And it's not until we get to work or whatever and someone goes, your button's undone or your fly's undone. I've had that a few times lately. Your hair's out of place. We're intently to put it back into place, aren't we? But what if someone calls us out on sin? That's not right. Do we intently, humbly try to fix our ways and take it on board, or do we rebuke the person? What right do you have? Again, it comes back to humility, as Jesus exhibited in his life. But the reason we are to look at Scripture as a kind of spiritual mirror, because it is what? It's truth, isn't it? It's truth that should pervade our very lives. It also gives us the insight into the very holiness and how perfect and amazing our God, our Heavenly Father, really is. I found this table during the week in my research for this sermon, which I found really helpful and encouraging, because James talks about the law being perfect and how it gives us freedom. And it, ultimately, God's law, he put it in place because it reflects his perfect character. Have a look at this. He says in the Old Testament, do not murder. It reflects God's character that he gives life. How about this? Do not commit adultery. God is faithful to his people. Amen. Do not steal. God is generous. He gives good gifts. Do not bear false witness. God's word is true. He keeps his promises. Be kind to orphans, widows, and aliens. God is kind to orphans, widows, and aliens. Do we not see this way of life personified in Jesus Christ? Amen. Is he not God? Does he not reflect these attributes? He wasn't just some man. He was God incarnate. And as you and I listen to obey God's word, the reality is again that we will be blessed. There's no two ways about it. If God's word is true and God's word is saying to us in this moment that live this out, and you'll be blessed, then of course it's going to happen. Go on, put it to the test. If you don't feel blessed by living this way of life out, then God's word won't be true. But let me tell you, I've taken one road in my life. I've taken God's way. God's way is far superior than any other way that I've taken in my life, any other path that the enemy's tried to take me down. And for when we do this, when we start to live this out, good deeds start to overflow from our lives just naturally. And for James, good deeds are a mark of true religion. He finishes by saying in verse 26 and 27, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, they deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, in their time of need, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I mean, again, we can view the character of God through the mirror of his word, amen? We know what uniform he wears. We are called to wear it well, and not just that, but embrace it and express it unashamedly. That's my third and final point for us today. If God's word is truly in you, if you've accepted it humbly, if you're listening to it actively within your life, if you've embraced it unashamedly, not caring what other people think, then James says in these final two verses, the very heart and the very essence of God's word and character should be and will be overflowing from your life. expressed in your life. And what does this look like? Well, as James says, it's all about harvesting self-control, which we're going to dive deeper into in the next couple of weeks, particularly with the words that come out of your mouth. Being wise with what you say. It's all about being generous with your resources, your time, your talents, your money. Using it to come alongside those in need, to further the kingdom of God. And again, that's what Agape Sanssouci is all about, to ensure that as a church that we are living this out in our lives. Amen. It's all about ultimately keeping yourself separate from the world, not allowing the world to influence and inform your actions and responses to life's challenges, to life's circumstances. I mean, one of my favorite portions of Scripture is Colossians 3, 1 to 14, and I want to read out a few bits of it for you as we finish up, because for me it sums up all of this brilliantly. Verses 1 to 2 of Colossians 3, it says this: "Since then you have been raised with Christ and set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Therefore, as God's chosen people," he goes on, the Apostle Paul, to say in verse 12, "as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and self-control. Bear with each other, forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity." This is the uniform of Christ, amen. This is the armor of Christ. Are you and I putting it on, or are we continually going back to the ways, the stinky ways of the world? It's a uniform that's saturated in the love of Christ, the ways of Christ, and it should inform every single thing that we do, everything. And these are the qualities of life we are to exhibit, and to do this again, to live it out, is to experience real blessing, amen. Real blessing lies in doing it and living out God's word and will, not just knowing it. And let us finish with this. May it be as the Apostle Paul concludes his letter to the church in Colossae by saying, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let the word of Christ dwell in each and every one of us richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness to God in your hearts. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father in heaven, we thank you that you, Lord of this heavens and the earth, that you have shown to us how much we mean to you by coming to this earth to exemplify and to live out the way of life that James is edifying and encouraging us all to live. And as we looked at last week, we acknowledge you as our loving Heavenly Father, and you love us. You want relationship with each and every one of us here. And for those who have accepted that word humbly into their lives, that have acknowledged you as Lord and Savior, Father, help us to emulate your Son. Thank you that you've clothed us in brand new shiny garments. Help us, Lord, to not go back to the ways of this world, but continue to embrace and wholeheartedly, unashamedly pursue the way of life that you call us to live. Oh, Lord, we are so sorry for the times that we've turned our back on you. Lord God, forgive us for the times that we've rebelled against you, even this week, even today, even yesterday. But Lord, we give thanks and praise in this place, in this space this morning, that your mercy is renewed every day. Great is your faithfulness, Father. We worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.